meet those needs, can we not? Well, of course we can. The reason those needs aren't being met is because when we walk out those doors, we're not doing what we know we need to be doing in most cases. Now, not in all cases. So I thought, let's take a look at this. Well, here's where it all starts. The book of Acts, for those of you that don't know, is called that because what it amounts to is it's the actions of the apostles as Jesus sends them to take the message to the world. That's really what it means when we say Acts. It's what these guys did. This is, besides for the Great Commission, in Mark the 16th chapter, Jesus says, now go into the world and preach the gospel. And he also adds there, to every creature. So we know from Matthew 28 as well as Mark and as Luke and other places that Jesus said, look, I came to teach you so that you can take what I've taught and take it to the rest of the world. And that's the basis for all of this. So after his whole ministry on the earth and on all of the time he spent with the apostles, and then they're seeing the passion, as we would call it, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, it's still not clicking. They're still not sure what they need to do. And Jesus, in the first chapter of the book of Acts, this is the last time he will speak to them face-to-face on this earth. The rest of the time would be through the work of the Holy Spirit. And so, because this is the words that he left them with, notice that the words he left them with as before his death, burial, and resurrection were to serve in Mark chapter John chapter 13, and then when you get over here to Acts, you're looking at the last words after his resurrection, and both have to do with the idea of laying yourself aside and going and doing what he's asked us to do. And so when you come to chapter 1 here, they're seeing him. They don't know at this point it's the last time. And they've asked him when he's going to line things up. And that's what all leads to this verse. And Jesus said, it's not for you to worry about what times things are going to happen in. That's not your concern. And it always amazes me how oftentimes we in the church today, we always want to know the timing. We always want to know when. When's this going to happen? Why? You know, what is this? Jesus said, don't worry about the time. You have a job to do. When it's time to clock out, to punch out, you'll know. So you've got a job to do. Quit worrying about what's going on around you and just do as you've been asked to do. And so this is what he says here. And in reply to that, he said, you know, you don't worry about the time, but this is the thing. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now notice this hadn't taken place yet. This is going to happen in chapter 2, by the way. But at this point in time, he's saying this is what you're going to do. You're going to receive this power. In other words, when you go out, you're not going to go in your own strength, nor in your own ability. Thank God for that, huh? You see, I'm going to go with you, and I'm going to do so through the Holy Spirit. That's going to be me taking you guys out there where I want you to go. And this is what that's going to mean, Jesus says. And you shall be witness to me. This whole word here, witness, by the way, is the Greek word martyros, which we get martyr from. It's the same word. We also use the word testimony comes through. And you shall be witness to me. Now notice where the witness is. It starts within the city. He's talking to Peter, James, John. He's talking to all of these guys who grew up within the city of Jerusalem and up in the north around, or they were familiar with the city of Jerusalem, but had grown up in the area of Galilee. But this was their home turf, so to speak. Much like you and I here in Mesquite and, of course, Las Vegas or St. George or whatever. And so he says, I want you to start there. You see, this is where it begins, in the area just that's immediately surrounds you, Jerusalem. And he said, but not just there, but then also in all of Judea. Now, the idea here is that the ministry, I want you to begin to be my witnesses in Jerusalem. And when you've accomplished the task there, the ministry will continue, but you are to continue to go on. In other words, don't finish in Jerusalem and then move to Judea and then move to Samaria. No. All of this stuff continues as you begin to broaden. Okay? So it's all still at work. Because there are many that have taught, well, Jerusalem was done, and therefore we finished it off, and now let's move into... No, that's not what he's saying. This is where it begins. And then in all Judea, and then into Samaria, and obviously then to the end of the earth. Now, I've said this many times in the past, but for us, this would be, I want you to be my witnesses in Mesquite. And I want you to be my witnesses in the state of Nevada. And then I want you to be my witnesses in the United States. And then I want you to take that witness to the end of the earth, places like Mexico and Nepal. and Africa and Belize. That's why we do what we do. It isn't because we want to make these trips. Anybody that's ever been on one of these trips knows that they are not vacation. I've shared that 100 times. You saw the work there, right? And we were only able actually to do a little bit, sadly, because of the storm that kept us from getting there Friday night when we had intended. So you see, this is the point. This is what Jesus asked us to do. Now notice this in verse 9. And now when he had spoken these things, when he had commissioned them, in other words, when he had given them the responsibility to minister within their hometown, with beyond that, and then all the way to the, you know, throughout the rest of the world, notice, then he's taken away, and they watched him as he goes. This is his last words to them, folks. We need to be paying attention to that, because that's what this is all about. Yes, there is mesquite, and we have work to do here, but there is a lot of work to be done elsewhere. And I want to show you this too. Why do we do this? Why, as a church, is it on my heart and others like me? And it's this, you have to understand, it's not this way for everybody. Not everybody has the vision of world missions that we have here. I think you probably already know that, right? Many of us grew up in churches that talked about missions but never really did anything about them. But for me and for Marie and I, when God sent us here after our time in Belize, that it's part of my DNA. I can't help but think beyond the walls of this building and the boundaries of this city. I can't help it. It's part of me. It's who I am. And so when these questions are asked, well, why don't we just do this? These are the reasons right here. This is why we need to work here, but we can't be stuck here, because the reality of it is why isn't every chair in this building filled this morning? Or in every other church, for that matter. Why? What's wrong with that? This is where the Word of God is taught, as well as these other places. But I'll just focus on us. Hope for the hopeless. Light for those in darkness. Truth for those that are in error. Health to those who are sick. Where are they, folks? There's nothing keeping this building from being full every day. And that's what Jesus said. And there's this thing in Matthew, and Jesus is telling this parable, and he said, after he sends the servants out, and he said, you know what, go out there and invite the people that are close to you. And you know what you got? You got a bunch of excuses. The first one, no, you know what? I've got to buy a piece of land. So I'd love to come, but here's the thing. I need to go and check this land out to make sure it's, you know, what I bought, and make sure the boundaries are all set. In other words, possessions. I would come and respond to the invitation. But the things that I have in this life are pretty important to me. And then the next guy says, you know what? I can't do that because I've got a horse. Actually, bought a cow. And I got to go out there and make sure that this cow can do its job. So, you know, forgive me if I don't show up because I've got to see. Now it's work. You see what Jesus is doing? He's taking all the excuses away, isn't he? The invitation is out. But people won't come because of possessions, and they won't come because of work. But he goes even further than that. I just got married. I can't come. Maybe his wife would let him. We don't know. But the point is that, no, I can't come. I can't do that. And so they come back and they report this to the master. That here's the thing, is that the invitation has gone out, but these people are not doing it. And the master responds with this. And then the master said to the servant, then I want you to go out into the highways and the hedges. God bless you guys. It's good to see you. No, you're all right. This is your first time. We don't mind being able to get through the first quarter. That's good. But go out to the highways and the hedges, you see? If they're not going to respond, those that have every opportunity to do so, then you know what? Go out and get those who may not have an opportunity otherwise. The hedges and the highways. Go out. Notice what he says. And compel them to come. Plead with them. This is where we are, what we're doing. It's because it's who he is. It has nothing to do with Calvary Chapel, Mesquite. Go out and compel them to come in. Why? Because I want my house filled, the Lord says. I haven't picked a select few, like so many teach and believe. No. I want my house to be full. This is all, by the way, speaking of a supper, and for those people in those days in that culture, that meant absolute intimacy and in fellowship. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. They're not going. They had the invitation. They turned it down. They're not going to get to sit down and eat. That's why we do this, folks. Every week, the invitation to come here is in a thing that we call a newspaper. It's in a phone book. It's on the wall out there. It's, you know, it's all over the place. The invitation is out there constantly for anyone who is looking to come and sup with the Master. But people don't. So that doesn't mean we give up now, I'm just saying. But this is why we move out into these other areas. Because here we are in America and in a very community where you can turn on your TV and catch the truth. You can turn on your radio. You can get CDs. You can buy DVDs. You can go on the internet. You can do, there's all access to that. And people don't do it. You see, the invitation is out. But they're not interested. So we go. We're going to go. We're going to continue to try to compel those that are close to us. But according to him, we need to get out there and do that as well. And then there's one other reason, and this is where we'll close. This is Paul now in the book of Romans, I'm sorry. A letter that he wrote to a church that had become believers, but no apostle had ever visited this church. And so Paul writes what we know today as Romans to explain some things, to clarify some things. But all through the letter, you catch Paul's heart where it was always Paul's desire to go to Rome. But the Lord had other things for him to do at the time. And a few years after Paul wrote this letter, he actually was able to go to Rome, didn't he? He made a journey there, but how did he get there? Under arrest. Oh, Rick, I would love to go to Europe. Would you be willing to go under arrest? See? Paul's desire. And so what Paul said, he was able to actually get to Rome, but when he wrote this letter, he hadn't been there yet. And so this is what he writes, and he's talking about the whole concept of taking the gospel. Because Paul knew from that verse that we read in Acts that it was his job to start the ministry to the uttermost parts of the earth. That was Paul's calling. That's why we call Paul the great missionary. And we study his missionary journeys as he journeyed through what we know today as the Middle East and then up into Europe and back in there into, you know, into Iran and all these places that we would recognize today as these places. See, Paul began that. That's why it was so amazing when you study his life. And so as he's telling them, he's sharing with them the greatness and the goodness that he's received from preaching the gospel and not preaching anything about himself, his abilities. Paul was a highly intelligent individual, highly. And yet he said, this has never been about me. It's not going to be about me. I want to preach the gospel. And so that's where he comes to in chapter 15 and verse 19. And he said, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum. You see? What's he just saying there? Same thing Jesus said in Acts chapter 1. One man. He didn't have just a single destination in mind. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But he went to the uttermost parts of the earth, and he began there in Jerusalem. And then ultimately, as it started there, he became a part of the church at Antioch, Syria. Because that's where Paul was from Syria, Damascus. And there was a church there, and it's that 13th chapter of the book of Acts, where Paul and a fellow by the name of Barnabas, they're in the church and they're both talking about, man, we feel like God wants us to take the gospel to the world. And so they go to the church leaders. Paul wasn't a leader in the church. Well, he was a leader, but he wasn't a leader. And so they come to the leaders and they say, look, this is what we think God is doing in our lives. And so the church fasts and prays, and they said, you know what, Paul, you're right. And they call him forward in a church service and they lay their hands on them. And they anoint them and they send them out. Acts chapter 13, read it. That's where Paul received his commission to go to these uttermost parts of the earth. Why? Let's read this. So that I could preach the gospel from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel. Notice this, not where Christ was named. Paul wanted to pioneer the gospel. See? He didn't want to. If Christ has been heard and Christ has been known there, that's wonderful, but then they don't need my services. I'm going to go over here. See? And that's what this is all about. So I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. Nothing wrong with building on another man's foundation. That's just not where Paul's heart was. In Africa, in Mozambique, the team, what are we going there for in come August? If we all finish getting our holes poked in our arms and all the other stuff, and you know, you kind of leak when you drink after you get all them shots, but we get all of this preparation. Why are we going? Because it's a vacation. Oh, no. Trust me, it ain't no vacation. You're going to be shot when you get there. It's awesome. You can't think straight. You can't, because everything has just changed. You've been on up for me last year, 52 hours I was up without sleep. 52 hours. The only thing I could think of when I landed was, where can I eat? No, just kidding. Actually, that's a true statement. Yeah, and I can't deny. I just thought, you know, you can't deny this because Juan's sitting right there, and Juan was with me he'll vouch for that. First thing off the plane, dude, where are we going to eat? We just ate on the plane. Yeah, but that's the plane food. We're now in Amsterdam. Where are we going to eat? And then we buy a $140 breakfast because we didn't know the euro was. Anyway, let's just keep going. Yeah, I did. But you see the point? This is what it's all about. So why are we going there? Because we're going to build on another man's foundation. A foundation that Luke has begun by initiating the talking Bibles to the Shitzwa. All those people on the pictures out there in the wall. That's what that's all about. He's initiated that. Now, you see, the foundation has been set for the gospel. Our role, as I shared with you when Juan and I returned, that our role now is to build upon that because there's no one there. Luke is not the kind of person who doesn't have the experience to train and to equip them to continue the gospel within their own people group and other people groups that surround them. So in this case, we are going to build on someone's foundation, but what a great foundation has already been laid. That's what the training center is about. That's why we're taking more talking Bibles in there. That's why hopefully we can get a medical outreach in there, because this is very remote areas, we already shared. So this is why we do this as a church. So if anyone asks you, or if you've ever wondered, why do we keep doing this when there's so much to be done around us, now you know. We need to do what's necessary around us. God has called many of us in here to meet those needs. But there are other parts of us, of this body, that he has called to go. And I got to tell you, and I don't want to belabor the point here, but from the time that Rick and Scott went with Marie and I down there into Mexico, and you need to understand what these trips are like. Now, this was, of course, you saw the training center. Not too shabby, huh? And you saw that taco stand, right? Now, I've got a map. I can get you right there. Well, we should have shown, I didn't even think about it. Somebody should have taken a picture of that one across the street. Well, I shared with you guys, that big fancy taco stand there, when we first started going there, didn't exist. It was across the street and it was a little stand. And the guys, those guys there, actually I think they're part of the family, with that meat hanging on there, that's pork. And it's good. But anyway, that's what they started. And we started going there and buying these tacos. And then after us, teams and teams. And this guy was making so much money from all the gringos coming down that he built that restaurant. We built that restaurant. How cool is that? But anyway, but when we used to go down there, of course, the boys, like I said, they were early on in their high school. I don't think we went when you guys were junior high, did we? Oh, yeah, but that was down to San Quintín. Right. Because we used to go to a different area further down before we started helping on the training center. And when we used to go down there, it was 6 hours because we lived in Amargosa. It was 6 hours to the border and then another 6 hours from the border on down into San Quintín, primarily working with the indigenous people of that area, which are called the Oaxaca. And we went down there. And in those days, they had no place to put us. And so somebody, we were trying to figure out who this was, somebody that we knew had one of these military tents. Right? They could sleep probably 25 people. So we'd carry this heavy tent down there, this canvas tent, on the dirt, and we'd set this tent up. They had a little shack that was probably 6x6 that had this stove in there that we would laugh at, and a gungy little propane tank. And we took, I don't know how many ice chests, and we'd all lay these sleeping bags out on the floor, and the kids, of course, our teenagers and stuff, and we'd do all of this stuff. No running water, no electricity. This is what we did. And Marie, bless her heart, she would get up way before the rest of us, and on that little tiny stove, and all, out of all of those ice chests that we would brought, she would prepare the meals for us to do. And after that, and then moving into that ministry into La Gloria then, when we finished down in San Quintín, God moved us there to La Gloria to help on that training center. And through all of that, my boys, with all that experience and all that under their belts, they did what boys do after that. And they spent their years, how shall we say, wandering, for lack of a better phrase. That was one of the most difficult things for Marie when we were in Belize for the 5 years that we were in Belize, because that was the hard thing, was because the way the boys were living. And she was really upset. We had the girls, of course, with us. And so why I'm sharing that with you is that faithfulness to go that desire for God's gospel to go regardless of possessions, regardless of job, and even regardless of family, if he so calls. Look at what God has done in my boys. It was worth it. Trust me. That my son, would, my oldest boy, would come and say, "Dad, we need to go to Mexico," because we've been talking about that. I said, "Yeah, we do, but right, you know, Juan is doing a lot with our missions, but they're really tied up with the Mexico trip. I mean, the African trip." And so he said, "Well, I said, "You know what? You think we need to go? I'll put you in touch with Sterlise. Run with it, man." That's what that trip was about. Him, right over there. You know how awesome that feels? And then to listen to Scott spend a year with us in Belize there, as he's already shared, drove us up a stinking wall. No, I mean, I almost got through, almost made it. But he returned back, and of course, and stuff like that. And then that's the first time I hadn't heard that before, had you? Him standing up here. Why have you never shared that with us, man? That this is where God showed him in you're right. But he's now, I mean, he shares that this is where his heart is still in Belize with the people there. I don't know, I can't think of anything better. Would I want my grandchildren in a place like Belize? Not so much, but the kids that were with us there, those kids are awesome kids. So, yeah, are there dangers? Absolutely. There are a lot of really nasty critters running around a place like that when you live in the rainforest. So, but if this is what God is calling them to do, how awesome is that? And then to have done all that we've done and God to bring us here to Mesquite and all you people that have prayed and helped Marie and I with everything, and then a group of people like this, and there were several that were missing. Denny, of course, Bob was in the back, he didn't share. Betty and Mary and Becky was not here as well. So all these folks that weren't here, Randy, of course, that wasn't here. And here I stand a week later, just a few years into this thing, already with a huge group of people back here that apparently God has passed the vision from my heart on. How awesome that is. And I just want to thank you guys for that, for this body, and for your heart. You know, we could get a bigger building. We could build all of this stuff. I'd rather meet in the tent and minister out there any day, any day. It's just the way it is. That we ain't taking this with us, no matter how nice a building it is. And it's a nice building now, but we ain't taking it with us. That will go with us. That's where my treasure is. And I hope it's where yours is too. Amen? All right. I could drabble on and on and on, but I don't want to do that. So let's stand. I know it's kind of an odd warning for us, but there you go. And I want to finish with the last verse right before we go to prayer. Verse 21 now of Paul's words here. "But as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see. And to those who have not heard, they shall understand." That's why we do what we do. That's why we got to continue to pray. Make no mistake about it. We're going to have another trip down there to Mexico at some point, probably not for a little while. Oh, I need to update you before I forget. I almost forgot. I just almost spaced out. I got a letter from Sterlise. Where's Cecil? The money. They've already got that thing filled in. Yeah. Isn't that awesome? It's just awesome. It's just, that's, and to that dump, and I think it was Robin that was sharing, Carlos was telling us that where we were digging, where we saw the wheelbarrows, just to the left of that, there's a hill that went up, and there's some old buildings up there. And Carlos, who's working right within that kid that I was telling you about earlier, that's working within that area, these kids from the city would come and they go up there, and this is where they, you know, do all their drugs and all of that kind of stuff. And here it is, right next door to the church, and now they're going to have this building down there built to train these guys and stuff like that. I mean, it's going to be awesome. This is what God is doing. So are we going to get to go back? Of course we are. Absolutely. You got to go. If that taco stand for nothing else. Yeah, that should make the journey for you easy. Amen? So continue to pray about that. Continue to keep your heart open to make that journey. Long trip, but it's a good trip. Amen? I don't know if I can just, there's so much more, but let's just pray. Father, once again, thank you, Lord, for the testimony of those who have responded to the call. It's never an easy thing. It's never something to be taken lightly, Lord. Oh, but the blessings. The blessings. These folks, Lord, their hearts have been changed because, as I've said so many times, Lord, without being out there and smelling it and tasting it and seeing it and touching it, you can't understand this. So thank you, God, for sending us to where we can catch that vision and that desire to be about your business. Lord, our calling is, it appears, is to build on another man's foundation, to help them, I should say, to build on their foundation. That's a role you've called us to, Lord, and it's one I pray we're happy to fulfill. So, Lord, thank you for being here with us. Thank you for everyone that was here this morning to share, and we pray for those that aren't. Once again, we lift up Betty and now Trish, Lord, as she's headed home. And there's so many others that are sick, Lord, I can't even think of them. But it's just good to be in your house, Lord, thinking completely and focused in upon you, God. We love you. We thank you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, God bless you guys.